It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hi everybody, this is the Cricket Badger podcast.
Each badger marks the track with its own scent.
His black legs are short but very powerful for digging. The name badger probably comes from the French word bêcher, meaning digger.
Well. Test cricket, you're pretty good, aren't you? That was an incredible test match. Nobody, I mean me included, didn't give England a prayer after day two, trailing by 190 on the first innings, coming back to win on the very end, the last over of day four, taking the extra half an hour. Tom Hartley, who best figures prior to that were 5 for Lancashire, 7 for 62 from him. Ollie Pope with his 196. Mark Hilton with me, England fan. We've been watching this, Mark, and I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I mean, there's a lot of people on Twitter telling me that, oh, yeah, you didn't know what you're talking about after day two. There is nobody, unless you're absolutely insane, who would have backed England after day two. They have done something incredible there to come back and win that.
Yeah, I think we said 2 days ago when we were on this particular programme that we thought it'd be over the next day and couldn't see any way back. Personally, I think it's right up there with Henley 81, this victory. I don't, you know, just remarkable in terms of the turnaround. You have to think about the quality of the opposition England were playing, you know, the novice attack they had out, Jack Leach basically on one leg, one seamer, Hartley having had a bit of a tortuous time in the first innings, Pope looking completely out of sorts in the first. I mean, the subplots in the game were absolutely unbelievable. And you had a feeling last night that something could be in the air in terms of, we know that the pitch didn't seem to deteriorate the way that we expected it to. You could still bat on it.
Yeah.
England bowled excellently today. But, you know, this morning, Hartley played really well again. Ahmed, you know, the supported Pope really well. And then anything over 200 in the last innings in India is always difficult. Don't matter who you are, it just historically is. Yeah. And then for Tom Hartley to bowl the way he bowled today.
There was a Lancashire fan on Twitter contacted me earlier to say, I've never seen Tom Hartley bowl like that for Lancashire. Where's that come from kind of stuff? There's nothing in his first-class stats, nothing in his... I mean, they kind of picked him because he's tall, basically. But there's nothing in his history that suggests that he can roll in and take 7 for 62 to win a test for England, is there?
Well, I mean, to be fair to all English spinners, they don't get huge amounts of opportunities playing county cricket. They're either used as bowlers to, yeah, you know, kind of hold up an end for a while. They don't play on many spinning tracks. And we talked about it the other day. They just don't have the opportunities to show their skills. I suppose you could argue that, you know, he's in an environment now in a situation where he has a pitch to work with. He's one of the main kind of bowlers in the attack, so therefore he's got more of an opportunity to do so. But no, in his Lancashire, in his short, I mean, he has to say his short Lancashire career, he'd only played 20 games, I think. Not played a huge amount, though those have been spread out over 3 or 4 years. So he hasn't had huge amounts of opportunities. What he has shown in his career, and I think everybody at Lancashire recognises that, a great mental strength and great belief in his own ability to improve. And that's been evident from day one when he's been at the club. For example, his batting when he first started, his batting basically like a number 11, but that's improved enormously through sheer hard work and working the nets, etc. He's always working on his bowling. So he's got a lot of mental strength. He's a mentally strong character. So I wasn't surprised that the first inning, I knew the first inning was obviously disappointing for him, but I didn't think he would fade. He's not that type of guy. And I think I read something yesterday that he was sitting on the edge of the boundary doing the crossword yesterday, looking very relaxed. So, you know, he's not gonna get fazed by things. But, you know, it just shows you that if you give, you know, if players have got the right conditions, then sometimes they can surprise you. But the fact of the matter is, bowlers like Hartley, Ahmed, don't have that opportunity a lot in England. But no. He certainly hasn't bowled like that for Lancashire. He has shown it, and he's shown it in one-day cricket as well, that he can, I know it's a different format, but he showed there that he can bowl under pressure and he can get good players out. So, you know, he's played in the 100, he played in T20, and he's shown that on the big stage he can do it in those situations. So I suppose he backed himself today.
Yeah. I mean, even in the first game, he basically 2 sixes in his first over, one off his first ball, got tonked around the park for his first 3 or 4 overs. But even in that on that first day, I tweeted that he's shown a few cojones there, because he's obviously Stoke persevered with him. But he kept going. And some players, we've seen spinners in the past, when they've been tonked early on, they've kind of just wilted. He didn't seem to do that. So there was something there. But I didn't see this, I have to say. I didn't see this.
I don't think anyone could see that, you know, particularly the quality of the opposition. I don't think anybody in their right mind. I mean, I kind of on our WhatsApp yesterday jokingly said, if England get 200 ahead, Hartley will get 8 for 40. But I never...
You're taking credit for being the Mystic Meg now, aren't you?
But I never actually believed that. You know, I thought that we'd, you know, if they've set him 200, we'd have a chance. But I mean, to do what... I mean, it was the control he had as well. It wasn't just the wickets, it was the control. And I think his control made India do stupid things. You know, pressure and control in the fourth innings quite often produces results for bowlers. So he showed great maturity today, and obviously, hopefully now he can back it up in the rest of the series.
I've had a few messages in today. If you contact us on Facebook, could you add your name to any messages? Could we only see Facebook user, but it says first one says congratulations India, England. Presumably from an Indian fan. Tim WD says, I've been away this week. Have India won yet? No, Tim. No, tune in. And another Facebook user says, India have never lost from such a first innings lead on home soil. I think the biggest lead they've conceded on home soil and lost was 68 to Australia. And they are obviously 190 behind England. So this is different territory completely. And yes, James, none of us thought we had a hope. And Lucas has joined us, our Aussie.
Hi.
Badger. We've been talking about Hartley, we've been talking about England and the incredible kind of turnaround in this test, Lucas. But looking at it from India's perspective, I felt in the first innings, we said on here that India had maybe left a few runs out there. There was a few holes out in the deep, and they could have really, we said when we were on together, that they could have ground England really into the dirt and won it basically sort of day two. They didn't do that, and maybe just kind of got a bit complacent. 190 lead, never lost from anywhere near that in India. Had they kind of mentally won this a long time before they actually had, and obviously never did in the end?
Well, technically, yes, because it was mental shots that gave away their first innings. KL Rahul, bad shot. Jaiswal, bad shot. So, in a way, you're right. The mental batting or mindset is really disappointing, because I've been saying that India's mentally a very strong nation, whether they're bowling or whether they're batting. And I think they lost a bit in their shot selection. But I also said that this is a pitch where it's tough to bat on at the start. But if you can get through 20, 30 balls, you'll make runs, like we saw with Ashwin and KS Bharat late in day four. or late today. So runs, this pitch was okay for batting. This pitch was pretty good. You just had to survive that tough start. And I think India just threw away their wickets in the first innings. They should have probably made 500, to be honest. And we said on day one that it could have been much worse. It could have been 2 for 400. Yeah. So they did throw their wickets a little bit, but so did England in their first innings. England probably should have made 300 in their second innings, and so in their first innings, like they did in the second innings. So I think this pitch was very good to bat on. I fear, James, and unfortunately for England fans, we will not see this pitch again. I think the next pitch will be an absolute minefield. We've seen that in previous series where, strangely, India lose the first test a lot of times in India. Strangely, then they just bounce back because pitches are just way too explosive. We don't like that. I don't like that. But that's the way it usually happens in India. They lose the first test, they make minefield pitches the next four tests, and teams can't handle it.
Well, Neil on our WhatsApp group, who can't join us today because he's taking his young lady out for lunch, he was saying that India have a habit of maybe not doing their prep and maybe getting caught cold at the start of a series and then coming back and doing that. And one of the things that you were saying earlier was about the spinners. You know, we've been talking about Hartley and his dramatic day-to-day, but you brought up a number of spinners in from Australia and beyond who have had a great start in India but then disappeared.
Yeah, well, when Australia won the first test in the 2016 series, I'm just trying to think of the spinner. Stephen O'Keefe took a fifer in that game. The rest of the series couldn't get a wicket. No, he was pretty average. We saw Don Bess and Jack Leach when they won the test in India a few years ago. You know, they took four wickets each. No, Bess was pretty average after that. So was Degree Leach. We saw last year, technically. We saw Todd Murphy in his first test do absolutely brilliantly, and then was average the rest of the series.
Then looked quite ordinary in the Ashes as well.
So I tell it, and same with Hartley. It tells me that India don't really research their spinners, but when they take wickets and do damage in the first test, then they pay attention and they work them out. And I think this will be the same series. I don't think Hartley will take another five for the rest of the series. I think they'll figure him out like they do the rest of the spinners in previous series.
Badgers are furry creatures. 85% of women badgers think bad grooming is a major turn-off. 80% of women badgers think men should trim below the belt. 89% of men think good grooming is essential to their professional success. Don't just dismiss it out of hand. Get on there, manscaped.com. Check out their great range of male grooming accessories. Hygiene, appearance, attractiveness, confidence. Simply go to manscaped.com. Quote the discount code BADGER. You get 20% off, you get free shipping, and you get some seriously quality equipment. Manscaped.com. Together, we save balls.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'll tell you what, I'm not going to make any more predictions because every time I do, it's crazy. This Baz Ball side, Mark, under Brendan McCullum and Ben Stokes, they just seem to, they don't care what tradition says. They don't care what history says. They don't care what convention says. They don't care what's gone before. They just play the day, don't they? They play the next ball. They play with positivity and they see what they can do. And, you know, me and you both on this preview for this ahead of this series said 5-0. To India, because India just don't lose at home. I mean, I don't think India still lose this series potentially, but India don't lose at home. India on paper have got a better side, but Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum don't care about that.
No, and I think we said the other day when we asked, would it matter if England lost 5-0? I don't really think they care if they lose 1-0 or 5-0. They want to go out there and and compete and play their own brand of cricket, and that's what they believe in. And you have to say that it's rejuvenated England over the last 18 months. And I don't think it's the... I think Bazball has evolved a little bit. It's not the gung-ho kind of batting we saw at the beginning of the Ashes last year or previously.
They've had to modify it for Indian conditions, haven't they?
I think they have. And I, you know, they played well. I mean, I think it's important when you're playing India, when you're playing those tracks, to be positive as a batsman, to be able to take the options of the boundary when it's there, to be looking to you know, for the boundary as much as you can, because prodding about for 70 overs, and we've seen it in so many times, eventually you get out and the scoreboard hasn't moved. So you've got to look to move the scoreboard along sensibly, simply to transfer the pressure onto the bowlers.
And, I felt that's what India did wrong in their second innings. They when they started to lose wickets, they basically just defended and waited to be out, didn't they? Whereas England, in the same situation, would have tried to take it to the bowlers, whereas India kind of just settled a little bit and defended and got a bit stodgy.
Yeah, I think, you know, they didn't know whether to stick or twist. They were stuck in the middle, weren't they? And but they were, you know, they were chasing a target over 200, and that's difficult in India in the last innings, regardless of who the opposition is. But yeah, they got a little bit stuck in between. A bit like they did in the first innings, they gave wickets away and then they slowed down. So their narrative can change. Whereas England, they've got a philosophy, they're sticking to it. They've modified it a little bit, and as I say, I think it's important to transfer the pressure onto the bowlers in these conditions to make them think a little bit. And as long as you're moving the scoreboard on, then even if you lose a couple of wickets, it's better than being stuck at a, 100 for 100, 200 for three is better than 130 for four, if you know what I mean, if they're defending a lot. So I have no issues with the way England are playing at the moment. You know, Ben Stokes is a very good captain in the sense that he is a very good person manager. He knows how to manage people. That's evident in his body language, the way people react to him. Captaincy in cricket is far more than what goes on in the field. It's how the captain relates to those players off the field as a team. And he does that really well, obviously. He works well for McCullum. So captaincy is a big thing in cricket, because as a captain, you are psychologically managing those players on and off the field, particularly at the top level. You're setting the tone. You're trying to make them feel comfortable in themselves. Cricket's a very individual game in a team environment, so everyone's kind of looking at what their stats and what they're doing. So to get people relaxed and get people to play their own games without thinking too much about that is a great skill, and it backs people. You know, we can argue about the semantics of, you know, whether he should have declared at Edgbaston last year or this happened or that happened, but the fact of the matter is England are playing thrilling Test cricket, and they've, you know, and it's energised the format, and that's what we needed. We needed it energised, and you can't take that away from them. So, yeah, and this victory, as I said, is, to me, it's on a par with Henley 81. Just the whole context of it in terms of the side England were playing, you know, 100 lead India had, 100 lead that, 190 lead that England were conceding. Quality of England spinners coming into the game the first day, everything, the whole context of the game, to me, is on a par with Henley 81 in some respects, because England were away as well.
Yeah, I think this is as good as anything, to be honest, that I've seen. Absolutely brilliant. I was not expecting anything like this from England, and we didn't get it for 2 days, but then we got it for 2 days, and it's been absolutely superb to watch. Lucas, we talked about Ali Pope yesterday. He went on to, I mean, we said yesterday that he probably needs to get a double 100 to really give England a chance. He got 196, which was near as damn it, wasn't it? This
close enough.
A lot of people are going to be talking about Tom Hartley and his bowling, but Ali Pope's innings, that is as good an away innings by an England player, I think, for a long time. That was superb from him.
Yeah, well, we said that last night, that if England were any chance, he needs to probably make 200, close enough. If he gets rolled out first ball, then England probably don't win this test match. But he, as I said yesterday, he batted absolutely brilliantly. Okay, he survived the first 10, 15 minutes when he came into bat on day three in his second innings. And then batting got much easier. As we said, batting got easier as long as you're in the crease ball. But I thought his stroke play was brilliant. And like you said yesterday, it wasn't a Baz ball. It wasn't like a 100 ball, 100 run, you know, 100. You know, he played very sensibly. I don't remember hardly any time where he got dropped. Could be wrong, but I think he played a flawless.
He got dropped just after his 100, didn't he? But that was at the only time.
Got dropped yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Well, he made 100, so damage. Yeah. So he was absolutely fantastic. But like we said with Ollie Pope's consistency, he's now just shown he can do it at international level against probably arguably the best attack in home conditions. And now it's all about backing that up. It's no good if he makes the next 10 innings and he only makes 20, 30 runs. That doesn't do your team any good. So he needs to back that up. You know, I'm not saying he has to hit 100 every single test, but just back that up, saying, you know what, I can be more consistent in my game and that will elevate me from a good player to a great player. I just think he needs to improve that a little bit.
I don't want to knock Australia today, Lucas, on this.
Oh, here we go.
It's an India-England test review. But West Indies win today at the Gabba. Absolutely brilliant. England's win away at India. Yeah, Test cricket gets a bit of a knocking. All three of us are big advocates and supporters of Test cricket. It is the real test of a player for me. It gets its bad days. It gets a kicking at times. But today is a fantastic day for Test cricket. Two amazing Test matches reaching their climax and two incredible results. Regardless of who's won, obviously England have won, Australia have lost today, but it's great for Test cricket, isn't it?
Well, it might be great for you guys. It's not great for me. This is one of the worst cricket days of my life. You know, I've played cricket myself. I've been smacked for none for 100. And today was just absolutely appalling. I mean, just absolutely one of the darkest days in my life. It might be good for a neutral. It might be good for West Indies and England. But for me personally, it was just absolutely one of the darkest days in cricket. Goodness me, who would have predicted that? I'll go into a little bit with the West Indies. I think it's what Test cricket needed is West Indies to do well. Unfortunately, it was at the expense of Australia. So you're welcome, Test world, that Australia was the guinea pig of that. You're welcome. But I think nations like West Indies, Sri Lanka, Pakistan, when they win, and especially if they beat the bigger nations like England, India, Australia, I think it does Test cricket the world of good. And West Indies cricket, we know that they've had problems regarding their Test team, regarding their white ball team, not making World Cups. I just hope that this turns them around. I just hope that they put a little bit more effort into Test cricket. Now, they have sent a reserve team in, which has angered me even more. We can't beat a bloody reserve team. But I just hope they prioritise Test cricket just that little bit more and say, you know what, we knocked off a big nation today and it gives us hope for the future. They've got England later in the year or the middle of the year, and I hope they can take something out of this game, this match today, into that England series, because there's players like Shamir Joseph, unbelievable today. He's had an unbelievable series. He came from absolutely nowhere, that kid, and for him to be man of the match, man of the series, it is just unreal. And I just hope that they can build that during the England tour.
When he took the final wicket, he was Imran Tahir on acid, wasn't he? He kind of did a lap of honour. It was fantastic.
The time they got to him, he was near the change rooms. So, yeah. So he was, and rightly so, he deserved that celebration. West Indies deserved that celebration. Pain for me, but good for web cricket.
You are listening to the Cricket Badger Podcast.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's good for Test cricket, though, Mark, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
Whether India had won or England had won today, that was a fantastic test. Whether Australia had won or West Indies had won, that was a fantastic test. And we all love Test cricket, and anything that does Test cricket good is a good day, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and it was actually great to see West Indies win, because we need a strong West Indian side, because it's just so exciting when they have a good side, because, you know, they generally have flair players, fast bowlers. And so you just hope now that they found one in this young guy who's not like, well, he's 23, 24, remarkable story. Hadn't really played cricket up until last year. And he can bowl nearly 150 k's an hour. So so it's something they need to get hold of now and kind of inject into their domestic system. Although, having said that, you know, a lot of the issues are the richer countries need to think about the resources that they have got and how they can assist nations like the West Indies and Sri Lanka and Bangladesh to ensure they have proper infrastructures so they can compete. So we don't get this system where the only kind of test series that seem to matter are the ones between England, Australia and India, you know, which is slowly becoming the norm. We need competitive cricket. If that means there has to be a redistribution of the income to get that, then so be it. And hopefully, there's been a few voices now, hopefully that's slowly dawning on people. That needs to kind of move forward now. And the players are also talking about it, but the players also have a responsibility, because they talk a lot about how Test cricket's the prime game and one thing or another, but, you know, they have to show that in deeds and in deeds, not just in words, because they often say it, but then they often just take the book regardless. So, you know, players have a responsibility as well to make sure that red cricket thrives, not just the administrators, and they have to show a desire to want to play it rather than just go around the world in playing in 10 or 11 T20 tournaments all year.
Yeah, just on what Mark said about Joseph Speed, I know this is an England and India chat review, but if you want to beat Australia in Australia, you need to have a bowler that can bowl that speed to penetrate pitches. I'm thinking, who was the Pakistan bowler that reached 145? Jamal. Also, debut series, had a fantastic series for Pakistan. Bumrah has caused damage in Australia. Mark Wood caused damage in Australia, penetrating pitches in the last Ashes. With Bada, when he used to bowl 150, not anymore, because he sacrificed a little bit of speed. He was a menace. So if you want to beat Australia in Australia, you need to have a penetrating quick bowler. And this whole summer, the summer's now over now. They'll play New Zealand. New Zealand, I really feel for that series. I think they'll get rolled, in my opinion. I think Australia have been poor, and they're very lucky, very, very lucky that this is not a Ashes year, or India are not here, because this could be embarrassing. They've gone out and
if Pakistan would have caught their catches, it might have been
exactly right. If they would have caught their series, they could have won a test match. I think Australia's attitude in this summer has been poor, that the mentality of, well, we'll just go get it done, they're no good, we'll get it done, and they're very lucky that this isn't England here or India, because we could have been embarrassed by those two nations. So a lot to work on. New Zealand, we could easily get rolled. Steve Smith, you know, probably cemented his opening spot, but our middle order and top order are just off by miles this summer.
England, I've had Australia. Yeah. It's a great day for Test cricket.
Yeah.
Let's finish off having a look at very quickly today too. Team-wise, obviously Virat Kohli is still going to be out for the second test. Will they change anything? That remains to be seen. We saw when Ben Stokes, fantastic run out, by the way, when he got rid of Ravindra Jadeja. Jadeja just held his hamstring a little bit when he walked off there, so that might be a concern for India. But if we concentrate on England, because we know a little bit more about them, Mark, do you think they're going to change anything? Because they've won that test. Very rarely do you change your winning side, do you?
That's a really difficult question to answer at this point, isn't it? Because we don't know where we are with Leach in terms of his fitness for a quick turnaround in a test match. You would hope with bruising it might get better and subside quite quickly, but we don't know the extent of that. So I think a lot depends on Leach, obviously. I still think the way Root bowled in the second innings, as well as the first and second innings, there is certainly a case for using him as a third spinner and bringing Anderson into the side and playing two seamers.
We mentioned Jimmy Anderson a lot, but I mean, Ollie Robinson's very good with his cutters as well. He can do the same job. So he's always
Ollie Robinson, Jimmy Anderson.
Yeah.
I think Ahmed didn't have a huge impact on the game. And I don't think Stokes trusts him as much as he trusts his other spin bowlers. So, and if you can't do it with two frontline spinners or three, two and a half, why are you going to do it with three and a half? You know, that kind of is that. So I would prefer Jimmy Anderson to be in the side. Because he might do what Bumrah did yesterday and have a spell where he picks up two very important wickets on day three with a bit of reverse swing or whatever. And he's got that in his locker. So you try and win the test match. So yes, I would make the change. I would bring, if Leach is fit, I would bring Ahmed out and Anderson in and use Root as the all rounder.
I agree with that totally.
Yeah, I didn't get Markwood's selection. I really didn't. I thought when Markwood got picked off, he was going to bowl short, nasty.
We talked about that before, only Lucas, and I was watching the last few days. There was just no pace in that track for him. No pace at all. He was playing it in short. It was just tennis ball bounce
I understand that, but from the ball one, he was a line and length bowler. Now, if you're going to bring in line and length, you might as well have used Jimmy Anderson, since that's he's the master of it. So I didn't understand why Wood was used that way. I agree with Mark. Were you gone, James?
The time for talking about the first test team is probably over, isn't it? Because I think we're looking ahead to the second test now. And I think Mark Wood will get a rest. Well, not that he did a huge amount in the first test, it has to be said, but they might stick with him. But I think we'll see definitely one of Ollie Robinson or Jimmy Anderson, if not both, for test number two. When you see England struggling in the first innings and you see those two carrying the drinks, you kind of are scratching your head a little bit, thinking we could actually use them with the ball a little bit anyway. But anyway, we'll finish off.
Yeah, and like I said,
He always tries to get back, doesn't he? Every time I try and finish, Lucas wants another word. But I'm going to finish. We're going to move on. We'll see you again for the second test out there, everybody. Congratulations in big, big style to Ben Stokes and his team. England, absolutely brilliant, bouncing back in Hyderabad to take the first test of a 5-test match series. If they're all like that, we're going to have a very good time over the next 6 weeks or so, because that was rather special today. And roll on many, many more. And Mark and Lucas, thank you very much for your time during the first test match. We will see you again in test match number two. Thank you for watching out there, everybody. Enjoy a little bit of time off in between the tests, and we'll see you for test match number two very soon indeed. Cheers all.
Podcast Network. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.